May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
So what is Epiphany all about? This wonderful celebration when we think about these three kings who travelled from far away to see Jesus. This event we've read about in our Bible readings. These are the last Christmas characters we tend to look at. They traditionally have been said to be from Ethiopia, China, India, Persia, very far away from Bethlehem. They've come a long way, and they know so much about Jesus through the prophecies and by reading the stars. They look in this palace because they know that Jesus will be a king, but he's not there. They trust in the star, and it leads them to the right place, exactly where Jesus is. There, they give their famous three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Incredibly significant gifts that tell us who Jesus is. But these kings are actually important saints that themselves tell us more about Jesus. So what else can we know about them? Well, in fact, tradition tells us exactly not only where these guys were from, but what they look like. And our very best illustrator has prepared an image to help us think about them. So the venerable bee, he captures a description of them very well. So these are the magi who gave the gifts. The first was called Melchior, old and aging, with a full beard and long hair, a violet robe, a green cape, and a pair of shoes with blue and white mixed together, the work of many men. His turban was dressed in a varying composition. He offered gold as for the king. The second's name was Caspar, a young, beardless, red-headed youth. He wore a bright green robe, a bright red cloak, and blue shoes. He offered the incense as an offering worthy of God. Thirdly, we have Balthazar. He was black and had a full beard. He had a dark red robe interwoven with white. He wore green shoes. He offered up myrrh for the Son of Man, professing that he must die. They all wore clothes of pure silk. Because they were pure men, they covered themselves impurity. So why are we looking at them? Why are they so important to the Christmas story? What is it about these three men that make them the grand finale of almost everybody's Christmas celebrations? Well, they're obviously important because we saw them prophesied about in our first reading. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. So King David wrote about their coming 1,000 years before they actually arrived to see Jesus. King David was excited about the three kings. That's as good a reason as any. These guys represent all nations. Think back about where all the nations come from in the Bible. Noah. After the worldwide flood, all the old nations were gone, and there was only Noah and his family. He had three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 10 shows how these three sons and their wives started all the nations. If you look in your Bibles, that chapter is given the name Table of Nations, or it is very often. The three of them represented all the peoples that cover the planet. They were rulers of the world together. Think about that. Three rulers, three kings who represent all the world. And this isn't just me making some wild comparison out of nowhere. Our psalm reading gives us some very important information that makes this comparison for us. The three kingdoms it mentioned, Sheba, Seba, Tarshish. When we look at the Table of Nations and a bit of genealogy afterwards, we can see that each kingdom is associated with one of Noah's sons. Sheba, Balthazar's kingdom, came from Shem through Abraham. Sheba was Abraham's grandson. Seba, Melchior's kingdom, came from Ham. And Tarshish, Caspar's kingdom, came from Japheth. Jesus picked three of the top guys from each of the main kinds of nations. The Hamites brought the gold they received in tribute from their mighty cities. The Japhethites gave the frankincense they brought from faraway lands on their mighty ships. And the prophetic line of Shem brought the myrrh, not for something that Jesus was there, but for something Jesus would do. They all brought gifts to profess the wonderful truths Bede was telling us all about. They put their hope in Jesus. They gave tribute to say they were a part of Jesus' kingdom. So we've thought a lot about where they've come from, and that's all there in Psalm 72. We saw that. But why doesn't Matthew mention these places specifically? Why does he just say they came from the east? That's so vague. Isn't that more unhelpful? Well, maybe Matthew's actually giving us something quite deep. If we flip back right to the beginning of the Bible, back in Genesis 3, we see that after Adam and Eve first sinned, they were thrown out of Eden, and where were they sent? To the east. Then when Cain was exiled from Adam and Eve's family, he was sent to the land of Nod in the east. Genesis 10:30 mentions the line of Shem going astray before they turned to false gods, and it says they went to Mesha in the east. When Lot went away from Abraham to Sodom and Gomorrah, he headed east. When Abraham had to send Ishmael away, he went to the east. When Jacob fled from Esau, again, to the east. And that's all just in Genesis. This whole sending people away to the east thing keeps on going throughout the Bible. All these people are sent to the east, away from their family. Where they belong is to the west, but now they're in exile. So what Matthew notices most about the wise men and where they're from is the fact that they're coming from the east and they're headed west. He's not making strictly a geographical point, because many of them might come from other directions. Jesus calls Sheba the kingdom of the south, and that is where Ethiopia is. So it's nothing really to do with geography in particular. It's about the spiritual meaning. There's a spiritual east, or like a biblical meaningful east, and a west. A spiritual, biblical, meaningful West. And we can belong to these no matter where we're from. So we see these representatives of all the nations living in the East in this way. So we see that all of us are in exile. We're all supposed to be in paradise, but we've been pushed out. But loads of those stories from Genesis that I mentioned have happy endings. Abraham, turning back to the worship of the living God, went back to the west, and he's buried there. Ishmael came back to live with Isaac in Genesis 25. Jacob came back to Esau and was tearfully reunited. In a way, all of these stories look back to that very first time we were pushed to the east. When we see these stories where people make it back to the west, we see there's hope for us to get back to our real home, to the paradise of Eden. So what happens to bring these nations back home? A star is sent to shine a light for these people to follow. The star was sent by Jesus, and it brings the wise men to Jesus. That's the way home. Jesus is the way home. When we think about how far the star had to go, it's nowhere near as far as Jesus went to come and get us. He was in the highest heaven, and he went all the way down to Bethlehem on earth, having gone so far to come and get us. This is the truth the wise men were telling us with their gifts. The sun already told us what the gold Melchior gave meant. The kings wanted Jesus to be their king. They're buying into what he's about. The other truths in that psalm are professed in the other two gifts. Frankincense was the incense given by the Old Testament priests as a sweet-smelling gift to the living God himself. You see, this psalm is written for this king who is the Son. This king does what God does. This psalm is saying that Jesus, this King of Israel, is God and the Son of God. So Caspar gave this gift of frankincense, following the example of all the priests of ages past who had given God frankincense. I hinted at the prophetic nature of Balthazar's gift. He was giving a gift of myrrh, a burial oil. Such a grim gift to give to a newborn child. But look again at that psalm. David looks forward to how Jesus will take pity on the poor and the needy and rescue them from death. What a claim. Rescue from death. In the Bible, that rescue word is very important, like the book of Exodus, when the Lord brought Israel out of exile, is the book of rescue. So we are exiled in death. We're not meant to be in a world where people die, but that's where we've been pushed into. But Jesus can rescue us from death. But how does Jesus rescue us from death? By taking that deathly punishment on himself. So this tremendously wise King Balthazar is thanking Jesus for taking that punishment for him. Jesus will end death like he promised in the psalm, but that is how he must do it. So what is Epiphany all about? That question we had at the beginning. Well, Epiphany is about these three kings, but they represent all of us coming to see Jesus and to recognize who he is. It's a revelation of who he is. That's Epiphany. It means the revelation, the showing off of who Jesus is and how important he is to all of our lives. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed all the power, all the authority, all the life, all the salvation, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.